carefully these things. Okay. So there are lessons which are learned along the way. And you need to look at sometimes the value of these lessons and whether they've actually been learned or we are just kidding ourselves. Okay? Now, in chapter 21, the first part of it, we read about how Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities. Well, there is your vow that was made and that was kept. Okay, so 21 and verse 2. Now, you would imagine that they would learn a lot from this incident. Sadly, sometimes the victories of life, the things that we have experienced, may not necessarily be what we have learned in terms of in-depth learning. And so we need to look at it very, very carefully. Okay? And then we're going to move on from there to today's text. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. The reason, of course, is God said, you are not allowed to attack Edom. Right? Because this is how God honored the relationship between Esau and Jacob. Okay? No matter what, they are still twins. They are brothers. No matter how you look at it, you cannot go into it and you can attack your brother. You cannot. Obadiah, Edom, this is where God spared Edom. Edom attacked Israel. And that is a crazy thing. That is not a good thing to do. But they went. And the soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. And you just wonder, what is there to be discouraged about? But there we go. The soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. Okay, now be careful of this thing here, this discouragement. Discouragement can come in many forms and it can hurt you very, very deeply. Okay? There are things inside the soul that you don't know about. In Psalm 51, we read, behold, the Lord desires truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. This is Psalm 51, verse 6. That's the inward part. We call the soul part. What you see on the outside is one thing. What you see on the inside is another. They're not the same. Right? And so sometimes we get little glimpses of these things here along the way. They just had a great victory. Right? There should have been a great sense of, you know, euphoria and so on and so forth. But before you know it, very, very quickly, the discouragement set in once again. And sometimes a lot of people are more inclined to discouragement than we realize. Right? So we are looking at now lessons of the soul, the inward part. Okay? There is discouragement. But we are not told why they were discouraged. Right? Just some people are just negatively inclined. They just want to, you know, they're just going south all the time. Okay, it's not even winter time. And they will fly south anyway. So unfortunately, they will go, they will get discouraged. When people get discouraged, what happens is that they will do this stupid thing, speak against the Lord all the time. I don't know why people think that they spoke against God and against Moses. Okay, the psalmist says, against you, you only have I sinned. Rather than this against Moses. Moses already told them, you scold me, also no use. Who am I? I'm nothing. You scold, no point. You can call me all you want. I don't really care. But against God, why? Why you want to speak against God? And so the people, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? No food, no water. Our soul
loathe this worthless bread.
Whoa, excuse me. That's serious stuff, you know. Okay, I really hope that next time you grumble, remember that it is not against the market stall holder. Ultimately, it could be against this person we call God. Okay, so be careful. Right, so I come to church, I have bronchitis, I choke. I try very hard not to say anything about the ANA, about the air, about the dust, lest I grumble against the Lord. I will drink water, I will do whatever I can, I get away from here, pray for rain, the rain comes. And, you know, and whatever it is. You need to understand this because the danger is very real. See, many people don't realize they sin against God. They don't even know it. And it starts off with this being discouraged. We think it is our right. We think it's our right to just complain, to grumble, and think it's our right. You know, I have a right to complain. Well, God has a right to send fiery serpents too, you know. Now, who's the right? I would give up my right. Okay? You have your rights. You get banged by a garbage truck. What's the point? You are right. And, you know, your car is total and you are injured. What's the point of being right over there? Look at this thing here. Okay? Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? First, that is not true. God did not bring them to die in the wilderness. Nobody died in the wilderness, as it were, in that sense, unless, you know, you go and get swallowed up by the earth or something like that, and then that is your problem, right? So this is a problem over here. I think that's part of it. There is no food. What do you want? Hawker stalls? What are you looking at? What do you want? No water. No. What do you want? Fizzy drinks. What are you looking at? Unfortunately, this is a really situation, but I think that part of it really, really gets down to our soul loathe this worthless bread. Oh, man. This is absolutely important. How can you call it worthless bread? I read years ago how to survive on prison bread. And this was the wisdom of people who were old prisoners. And they say, if you're only given one piece of bread, never eat it when you are hungry. You must take a look at it, measure it, feel the texture of it, look at how hard it is, and eat it like hardtack. You know what hardtack is? Hardtack is the German stuff, you know, the US government, they send to the soldiers this thing, hardtack. You got to slowly let it melt in your mouth, because if you try to break it, your teeth will crack first. It's called hardtack. It's ration when you are in the wilderness and there is no food there. How do you break it now? You don't bite. You let it slowly, slowly, use saliva, slowly soften it and take a little bite. That is what the prisoners say. So it's not worthless. You don't know how to eat it. And after you eat it, no more food. So hungry. The veteran is slowly still eating it. Half an hour, still eating it. You're all finished long ago. Yours is taken in 5 minutes. You are going to be hungry for the rest of the day. Same food, but the veterans, okay, we can survive. This is what it is. But you see, when it comes to the point when you call something worthless bread, now you are despising what the Lord has given. And this was the problem. I think this is something that they did. Okay, so this complaint, why he brought us out of Egypt? As I said, if I were Moses, I would ask him, who asked you to come? Why did you stay there? I didn't ask you to come. Right? You want to come, you come at your own risk. I would raise it now. To die in the wilderness, why aren't you dead already? Why are you dying in the wilderness? Why aren't you dead yet? I mean, this is ridiculous, right? No food. What's wrong with your eyes? You cannot see food? You cannot see water? Come on, all this time you could have survived without food or water? This is just exaggeration to the point of ridiculous. This is what we are looking at. And that is what it is. You loathe the food. And that was the big problem. Okay? You know, sometimes you ask yourself, why don't God talk to them? No use. I mean, seriously, sometimes, you know, Lord, right? He said, I will test them. Remember that in Exodus 16? I will test them to see whether they will obey my commandments or not. Obviously not. Okay? But slowly explain. Water came out, water, right? You know, and then water made sweet and everything else. Manna came, quails came. Stop. The quails can land on your head and you still can't understand it. No food. What have you been eating all this while? No food. I mean, it has come to the point of ridiculous. Let me just take you a little bit into the book of Deuteronomy a little bit. You should just take a look and see what the Lord provided for them, you know, during those years. And I think that we have not really understood this until we really appreciate what the Lord spared them from all this while. Okay? So in chapter 4, the Lord said he took them out, that it may be well with them. Chapter 5, he gave the commandments all over again. Chapter 6, the people were there. And chapter 7, the Lord says he was going to be, his special people in chapter 7. Okay? And this is something that you need to look at very carefully. Chapter 8 is a critical chapter to read. Okay? Must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. And see, you shall remember, verse 2. Okay, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years to know what was in your heart. So he humbled you. They didn't understand this. Caused you to hunger. Fed you with manna which you did not know nor your fathers know. That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... See, they miss all these things. They didn't understand why God made them hunger. They did not understand the spiritual lessons that they were supposed to learn. They did not understand that God was trying to teach them that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't understand any of these things here. But look at the Lord's protection. Your garments did not wear out. Whoa, how about that? Can you imagine? Of course, the ladies don't like it too much. You know, but when you are in the wilderness, you look for clothes that don't wear out. Otherwise, you're going to go to the shopping mall, you know, where? What shopping mall are you going to have? And this is important. There was nothing that was there. And this was critical. Okay? So, but I like what else, you know. Your garments didn't wear out, nor did your food swell these 40 years. Hey. You know, walking in the wilderness for 40 years, no joke, you know. Your Achilles tendon will just about kill you, you know. Especially if you get ankylosing spondylitis problem, you understand it a little bit more. Whoa, your feet did not swell. So obviously nobody had ankylosing spondylitis there, you know, because they don't have any foot swelling. But if you have any of this, remember the Lord said, I will put none of disease against you, upon you. He kept his word. They were healthy guys. You know, they really, health was something they took for granted. The Lord kept them. All right, so no feet swelling. It's just quite amazing. No podiatrists in those days, you know. Right? So there we go. And the Lord says, I will give you all these things. Oh, I just wish they'd understood all these things. They did not. Let's go on further. What else? Okay, look at verse 15. Led you through the great and terrible wilderness. There were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out for you. Right? Which your fathers and the manna was there, that he might humble, that he might test you, to see what's in your heart. But you take a look at this.
See, there were fiery serpents and scorpions.
So when we say the Lord fed fiery serpents, it's not that they came out of nowhere. They came from Burma. You know, the python came all the way from Burma just to attack them. They were there all the time. The Lord kept them protected. You don't want me to, you don't like me, right? You don't like all these things, fine. I withdraw the hedge. And it was all gone. The snakes would come. The serpents would come. Not a fiery serpent, there was fire coming out. No, it really means that this one bites you and you feel hot all over, fiery. No, you know, you're the poisonous thing. It's not this one, go, fire coming out, the smoke. And then they move so fast, like smoke comes out. No. This describes the suffering of the people after they are bitten by snakes. This is really, really painful. So just to help you to understand that he might test you. But you know, they didn't understand this part of it. Now you take a look at how the Lord protected them. You see this glimpse of it all? You see the glimpse of here? If the Lord had not protected them, snakes would have come more often. What makes them not come? Fire by night. You hope you understand. It's not the fire, the snake. I can't see this fire up there. No. In other words, it's all around. You can't see it. It's far away. Let's get out. Hey, the snake. Oh, got fire here. Better not. All you need is a lapse. Wait, this one is nice. I'll hit this one. Why? Wow, see, Lord, I've not beaten anybody for so long. It's not my time to bite. So we go around biting several people. Wow, what a great thing to do. And these people deserve it, you know. I'm going to bite someone. Hey, they were being kept away by the Lord. You just didn't realize it. You know, the Lord is your keeper and the shade of your right hand. And really, the Lord's protection is just absolutely wonderful. I just wish they could see that, but nope. They are so low, this food. Oh, man. Oh, this is really, really, really tough. Okay, there we go. So he sent fiery serpents. So please remember, the fiery serpents were always there. They were just kept at bay. Now, okay, snakes, you can go. And they came and they attacked, and they were in serious trouble after that. They bit the people, and some people, they died along the way. Now, we don't know how many people died, but many of the people died, you know, and so they came to Moses. I don't know how many times they said this. Sometimes you got to read Psalm 78 to understand. You know, many times they say this. Please do not think that God is fooled by all these words. It's just out of pity, out of compassion, out of mercy, out of grace that God, answers their prayers. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you." That part I must say, because otherwise you don't pray for me. I better say sorry. If I don't say sorry, then you won't pray for me. I'm really sunk. It's very painful. See, my leg's swollen twice. I mean, you can imagine how Moses must have felt. Look at you, poor chap. You know, your face all swollen up, your legs all swollen up. You know, hobbling here and there, and pray to the Lord that He may take away the serpent from us. Good thing Moses was. I said, it's Moses, not me. Too bad. You know, too bad. You know, sorry. What can you? Of course, that is unfortunate. But there we go. You see, some people really, really, you know, rest a little bit much. This is one of the. There are people. You know, but neither can we just wish may fiery serpents bite you. Also, you cannot say that. So it's very hard to be a Moses. I must tell you. I mean, you think you're so good? People irritate you also. It happens. I think all of us know we have our own limits. There are days when you just feel, right? So sometimes, you have one day there was a pastor, somebody dropped something heavy on his food. And everybody knew that he was a pastor, so then he kept quiet. And someone said, that was the most unholy silence I felt. You see, he was really angry, but he couldn't. Everybody else used words people will understand. But pastor cannot, so that is a painful part. But mercifully, Moses prayed for the people. You remember that? This is important. You know, sometimes if that's why we read. You know, if the person, someone does not stand in the gap, you know, we're sunk. Do you need someone to pray and stand in the gap there? And so remember, this is a little word to you. Okay, never make the pastor your enemy. just in case you need him to pray. Sorry, I'm not praying for you. No? Okay, Nick, sorry. Bye. Wow. Then that's that. Of course, but I can pray for yourself. Yeah, sure. But when you're bitten by a serpent, you know where the problem is. You see, you trace the root of the problem, right? First, we've sinned against the Lord and have sinned against you. We've spoken against the Lord. We've spoken against you. You don't pray for me. That's it. You know, I mean, you know, that's how they equate, you know, the theology very limited. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Okay? Set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. You see, all these doctors with all the snakes and a pole and all that. Yeah, you see this, you know, this brazen serpent thing here. See, he will be healed. I don't know why they use that for that symbol, but that to me is not a good symbol, because first they're not selling snake oil. Secondly, they cannot bring God into the picture. Spontaneous regeneration nonsense. Yeah, that's all they can say. You know, but so they actually, but this is actually from days of old. They come up with this brazen serpent, you know, this kind of thing here. That's where it came from, actually, way back when. Okay, and so they sinned, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. It shall be everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now, please understand this. The brazen serpent does not heal in itself. So there is no special magic power, come out, you know, only in the Indiana Jones type story, you know, that you can go and see. They haven't done one brazen serpent yet, but who knows? They might come up with one, something like that. And there we go. Can make a fiery serpent, whoever he looks. So there we go, and he made a thing here. This is a story behind it, and I think that we all understand, okay? Now, what is this all about? And this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. The story is simple enough. I think the lessons to be learned are not. The lessons that we need to learn really, really a little bit more serious than we imagine. Okay? And you just begin to realize that a lot of times the problems, the lessons of sin are never really fully lived. Unfortunately. Okay. First, we don't know who are the guys who sin. Okay. So you need to look at Psalm 78 in order to understand the problems that are there. So sometimes you look at this and you see this repeat again and again. And I think, let's look at Psalm 78 and we'll see how this works out. Okay. Psalm 78 was not the only one, but it is important. This is Asaph's psalm. Okay, this is important for us, and we see this, that they may set their hope in God, verse 7, not forget the works of God. You see, all these lessons were recorded for us for a purpose. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that all these things are there, and we must understand, we have to learn from them. Right? No temptation taken such. But the testings were already recorded in the scriptures, and they are there, and they are written for a purpose, and they are to help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. Okay? We take a look at this. Verse 10, this was the where. Verse 8, we'll see this. This is a problem, and a problem of stubbornness, the problem of being rebellious. A generation that did not set its heart aright, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The word spirit is the idea of the word soul. Now this is a telling verse. Why all these problems? Because of stubbornness. You name it, you understand this problem. People can be stubborn. One of the most stubborn creatures on this earth, the general human beings, that we don't seem to learn. Stubbornness is there, very, very, very real. Two, it gives its expression in rebellion. Three, you trace it down to the heart that is not right. Four, you go down to the spirit that is not faithful to God. One, two, three, four, and it's there. You know, sometimes we come for prayer meeting. My suggestion is that whenever we learn this lesson, it's good to check the heart, to check our spirit, to check the problem of rebellion, check the problem of stubbornness, because it can be a very real problem. Okay? Now, we're going to see this. They did not keep, verse 10, the covenants of God, refused to walk in His law, forgot His works, His wonders that He had shown them. Now that is a fact. So no matter what God did for them, you see, what God did is one thing. Whether we've learned the lessons is another. And you cannot learn that on a superficial level. You must learn it from the level, watch it to the level of the heart, level of the spirit. And if we don't learn it at that level, believe me, we're going to see the same thing again and again. So God can explain, God can rebuke, God can chastise, but they will not learn. And that is a problem of human life. It's a human problem. And we need to ask ourselves why we are here at prayer meeting. And it is important that we understand all these things. And it is important. Let me go on further at what He did. Okay? Verse 17. But they sinned even more against Him. They tested God in their heart, asking for food for their fancy. Spoke against God. Can God prepare a table? Later on, no food. You know, it reminds me of ladies go to the closet, no clothes. Same thing. And you wonder, what do you think you're seeing? Same thing, you know. Unfortunately, that happens all the time, so it becomes a joke, and men don't understand. They just keep quiet. Where are we going? So then the Lord. Okay, now look at verse 21. Therefore, the Lord heard this, and He was furious. Anger, and this is important. You see, a lot of people don't understand the anger of the Lord, but it has to be done. They did not believe in God. They did not trust in His salvation. See, it goes, can you see the many facets. You must never think of this thing as only one facet. Oh, I saw this miracle. I understand this. No, it's not. There's so many facets. Right? The level of the heart. The level of the spirit. The question of faith, did not believe in God. See, we don't examine ourselves clearly, carefully enough. We don't realize that there are so many facets involved. So when we rebel, this, you go, the stubbornness, rebellion, refuse to keep God's laws. You can add on. And you see this multiple. This spokes on a wheel, so many different, and everyone representing something, and it becomes a very, very deadly thing. They did not trust, yet He commanded them, commanded the things to the rain and the clouds, and He gave them manna, and man ate angels' food. In other words, it's from heaven. It's called angels' food. Not that the angel cake, you know, it's not, not things like that. That kind of stuff is not. I'm not advising you to eat them, but there we go. Okay? See? So there we go. So we, in spite of this, verse 32, they still sin. They did not believe. And so in their days, they consumed them in futility and their years in fear. Now, this was another problem. Okay? Now, you're going to add these things here. Futility. To be bitten by a snake is really futility. For what? A snake come a bit. But you for nothing. All because you want to grumble. Stupid to me. Right? And then, of course, consume it in fear. Ah, I wonder what's going to hit me next. If it's not a serpent, what will? Scorpions. Of course, we didn't see scorpions yet. You know, it was not mentioned. The scorpion king will come, you know. And so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. But this is what it is. I mean, really ridiculous situation. But you look at it now. Okay? Then they remembered. They returned and they sought. When he slew them, they sought him. They returned and sought earnestly for God. They remembered God was their rock. Most High was the Redeemer. Then they flattered him with their mouth. Ah, you really wonder why people think that way. They lied to him with their tongue. Heart not steadfast. Not faithful to his love. If God hears our prayers, it's only because he is very compassionate. Because he's very merciful. Not because, well, you said the right prayer. You see, some people think that if you say the right prayer, then it will trigger off an answer. Not true. So that's why people out there tell you, this is how you should pray. You must say these words. You must say that word. You must claim this promise. It's rubbish. Unfortunately, many people think and teach things like that. This is not true. Oh God, you're almighty. You know, I believe in you. See, I trust in Jesus. I believe in your word. You know, okay, now I'm going to ask this thing here. You got to be kidding. You think God is fooled by words? He never is. He never will be. Flattery doesn't go anywhere. This is why the Herodians came. You know, master, teacher, we know you don't care for anybody. You know, things like that. You know, you know, what about paying taxes to the king, to the Roman emperor? To pay or not to pay? Wow. See? You think people can be flattered, you know? Oh, not good here. Okay? So, there we go. Many times we read, he turned his wrath, his anger away, did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered they were but flesh, and breath that passes away does not come again. What is this? This is only a breath. See, the word breath is just the word vanity. What is man? Just a breath. One day you just stop breathing, that's it. You know, to describe life like that is pretty frightening, you know. What are you? Your breath. Worse is bad breath. This one is really bad. This one is quite bad. Okay? And he remembered they were but flesh, you know, all that. Okay. Stop. Better take a drink. Really quite bad, huh? Okay. How often they provoked him and they grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you see this thing here? You see, even the limitation is part of the sin problem. So if you look at Luzin, this is not enough space to write all about, seriously. Now, interestingly, now we turn to the book of John here, and we have a very, very, very amazing statement here. The analogy here is a pretty amazing one. Okay, and we see this in chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus Christ said these things here. Okay, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Okay, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, this is where we often only cite John 3:16. Well, God so loved the world. We never look at verse 14. But tonight we're going to take a look at verse 14 before we look at John 3:16. Because we, without understanding John 3:14, 16, we only get not full value. It is really, really interesting. So we only talk about God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's easy to cite a verse, but you've not read verse 14. What are we looking at? And verse 14
If you read this in the context of Numbers 21, you begin to appreciate this. Okay? So Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things here? You do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I tell you earthly things, you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?"
Now, this is Nicodemus' problem. Okay? Nick, you're here. Right? And here it is. This is a teacher of Israel. He hasn't got a clue as to what salvation is all about. He doesn't understand born again. He doesn't really understand God in that sense, because he's not born again. If this is the plight of a teacher of Israel, Israel is truly in darkness. Isaiah 9, the people dwell in darkness. The great light has shone, can't see the light. That is what we're seeing right now. This is what we're seeing as a problem, a very major problem. Can you see the plight of the people? And I hope you understand, sometimes looking at John 3 will help us to understand Numbers 21. What is their problem? Same. If you want to draw an analogy, there must be comparison. Sometimes one sheds light on the other, sometimes this sheds light on the other one too. What is it? There is darkness. What is this? Unbelief. What is this? No knowledge of God. Can you see this here? Right? So this is what, in other words, they don't understand anything about God at all. That was a state, really sad plight of Israel at the time. They did not know God, despite what they had seen, the works of God, the words of God they heard, you know, the appearance of light and of in the cloud, day and night, fire, nothing. And this is Israel. Then, in the days of Moses, in the time of Jesus, it was about the same. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Of course, there were no fiery serpents in the days of Jesus being biting all the snakes on the tired. No point. A bite or no use. Some people don't care. I mean, seriously, they don't learn from it. So obviously, there is a parallel here. Right? There is a parallel which a lot of times we miss because we only look at John 3:16. The parallel is that of unbelief, of darkness, of sin, of no knowledge. They don't understand. No one has ever been to heaven except he who has come from. They didn't understand. And so instead, there is going to be a symbol. And this was what he said. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Now, please do not think that Jesus is a serpent. Please don't ever. It's not. It's the lifting up. A reference to the fact that he would die on the cross. Okay? So you mustn't think that there's a snake up there. No, it's not what it is. No, it's not what it is. Okay? It's just the lifting up. The point of the analogy here is very, very significant. We are looking at rank sin, unbelief, darkness, no knowledge of God. At this point of time, if Nicodemus represents the finest of the knowledge of Israel, Israel is in serious trouble. And the Son of Man has to come. Okay? The Son of Man has to die before faith can come true. Now that was the point of it all. You see? So it's not making the serpent. It's easy part of it. The point of the analogy here was serious because we are now looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he will have to be lifted up. signifying that he would have to die before you can have that sin forgiven and salvation given. I think sometimes we miss this point. Sometimes we really miss a point. Until we really grapple with and understand and appreciate what it means for the Lord Jesus Christ to have to die for our sins, we don't know how to appreciate our salvation. And this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. So he was not that brazen serpent. Okay? What do we need to really have? You know, we need to focus our faith on the Lord. Focus that faith on the Lord. Nothing else. You see, you read Psalm 78 again. No knowledge, no faith, no understanding, limiting God, and so on and so forth and so forth. See, that's our problem. We talk about faith in God, and we don't really understand what that faith really, really, really means. And this is important for us to understand and appreciate. And we need to see this very, very clearly. And unfortunately, we don't understand this. Okay, think about this. I just want to help you to understand what we are looking at in Numbers 21. It was amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ drew this analogy to himself. You must remember, this is after all that God had done through Moses, provision after provision. And there he was. You know, and this is a really, really unfortunate. You see, sometimes we don't recognize, we don't realize to what extent we can be caught up and we are so entrapped and so ensnared by our sinfulness. We just don't know the extent to which we are so trapped by our sin. You know, it's going to take faith. It's going to take a lot of faith to be able to do this. Unfortunately, we don't understand. You see, when we look at the book of Hebrews 11, the one phrase that keeps on coming up is the word by faith. And I want to say this to you. This is very important. In Greek, it's just simply one word. And this, in this one word, where the dative idea is comes in what we call the means, is one of the most significant uses of this idea of the dative. Faith, if possessed but no use, not used, is wasted, it's useless. If I can say I have faith, but I cannot say by faith I do something, that faith profits you not at all. You see, faith by nature and by design was meant to be used as the means by which. And if I am not applying my faith, by faith we understand. You see, we read in Hebrews 11 verse 2. By faith we understand. If we are not using our faith to help us understand, guess what? We're not using faith. There are things we don't understand in life. You know what we do? We use our faith. We should, we must, we don't. And so that faith is useless to us because you have not used it. Right? By faith, Enoch offered a sacrifice truly that is greater than that of Cain. You see, in other words, every time I worship, every time I make an offering, my faith must be applied. So if I worship and I'm not using my faith in my worship, that worship is useless. See, we don't realize this. You see, this is important. So if I am coming to worship, I'm looking forward, am I employing my faith? Am I applying my faith? If I'm not, and I'm not offering the worship that is going to be pleasing to God by faith. I hope you understand what we're trying to get. Again here, by faith, Enoch walked with God.
Okay? So if I don't have a walk with God and I'm not walking by faith, what's the point of talking about having faith in God? You see, the Jews, the Israel had everything given by the Lord. Out of Egypt, power, protection, provision, promises, presence, you name it. Why did they fail? Because by faith was not there. In other words, can I speak of, yeah, I have faith in God, you know, otherwise how can I be here? But you're not applying it. You're not using it. You're not using to understand. God allowed you to understand this, that He allowed you to hunger, He allowed you to thirst, so that you may learn. You do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You didn't learn it, did you? Why? Because that faith is not applied. You need to apply that faith. Unfortunately, we don't. That's a sad reality. We just don't apply our faith the way we should. I mean, take my worship. We just worship. That's worship. I'm not applying my faith. I should apply my faith. By faith. If I'm not applying faith, everything I do comes to nothing. It's useless. It does nothing. There is no point. I'm not using it. Right? By faith, we understand. And this is important. This is something that this was a series of messages that I brought over to Perth. The key word is just two words that the whole 3 nights I spoke on this, by faith. You see, this the first part of the book of Hebrews, there are no exploits, you know. No walls fell down. Lion's mouth would not stop. The first part of it has to do with very ordinary living. How do I see life? How do I understand life? Does faith come in? Nope, it doesn't. That life is not pleasing to God because we did not use our faith. By faith, we understand. In worship, did I put in my faith in? No, I did not. Then that faith, that worship, is not accepted because I didn't apply my faith. If I talk about a faith in God, but I don't have a walk with God, why? Because I'm not applying my faith, then my life is not pleasing to God either. You see, key to the whole book of Hebrews is just these two words in English, by faith. It's used numerous times, by faith, by faith, by faith, to emphasize the importance. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the circumstances of your life. It doesn't matter when you start. Enoch began at 65. The point of it all is you got to use that faith. Unfortunately, we don't. And so we end up like Israel. We grumble. We complain. We speak against God. We speak against God's people. We speak against God's servants. We speak against everything under the sun. Oh, there are no fiery serpents. You see, that's the unfortunate part. Right? Nowadays, even if you want to get rid of serpents, you know, the SPCA will go after you. You cannot. And unfortunately, I mean, this is a really, really, really tough situation. And it is, there are lots of these things that we are looking at. And this is important for us. We seem to be missing the point. And I really hope that we're going to learn, you know, as much as we come for prayer meeting, we really have to ask ourselves, how much of this faith are we using in our life going forward? No point going backwards, going forward. How am I going to utilize my faith? This must be our challenge. Okay? As I look forward, you know, this year is going to be a tough year economically for many people. It's going to be a tougher year perhaps next year. It is going to be really, 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 really tough for the years ahead. We don't know. For many people, going to lose their job. And the Lord calls us, use your faith. By faith. You know, with every passing year, illnesses will come. You know what? We just got to face life. It's going to be by faith also. Everything, God's principle, has always been to give to us faith. But that faith was meant to be used. If we don't face life with faith, we fail. And that is a fact. We will fail miserably. People live by their wits. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Right? Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. What is it? Let him glory. Let him glory. He knows, he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord. Knowledge. By faith, we understand. You see, that's what we mean by it. We have to constantly employ our faith. It has to be an everyday conscious effort. If I don't, I will die. Spiritually, I will shrivel up and I will die. That is the unfortunate truth. So there are problems. So there are challenges. What do? We exercise that faith even more. Over and against everything else, we keep on exercising that faith until we see the brightness of it all. And that's what it is. Okay? So this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Are we applying our faith the way we were meant to? Israel never applied. Did they have knowledge of God? Yes. Experience of God? Yes. Have they seen miracles happen before our eyes? Yes. What was it? They just didn't exercise their faith. But okay, now we look at situation. The Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up. He died on the cross for us. So we are saved. And that's it. We are still not applying our faith beyond a certain level. And it's wrong. We need to apply our faith, no matter what. We have to apply our faith, and this is how that's how it must be. And we've just got to understand how this works out. Not an easy thing to apply, but a necessary thing. We've got to learn how to apply this faith, or we are going to go nowhere with this faith of ours. We can't go anywhere further because we are not applying our faith the way we should. And I want to challenge us all to seriously, as we learn how to pray, as we think about this, lots of this thing, but let's learn how to pray. Let's how to learn how to live by faith. You know, unfortunately, our way of looking at life is so different. We look at, okay, we live by our wits. What shall we do now? We plan, we make financial decisions. Everything we do, where's faith? It's missing. The faith angle is missing. The faith element is missing. If we are honest with ourselves, that is our plight. That is our problem. And the challenge is, I want to exercise this faith. Sometimes problems in life are the worst possible ever. But those are the moments where the exercise of faith is best. Because you've got nothing else to fall back on except faith. Right? Okay, now you go brazen serpent. You want to look up or not? It's a look of faith. Wow, how can a serpent help me? Then you die. Well, what can you do? I just look at it. I mean, well, yes. Now you believe or you don't. That's how it is. There is no choice. You either look up. I look up. What more is to look up? Okay, then you die. Right? What else is there? Same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Either we look at him with faith or we will perish in our sins. There's no choice. And the best thing to do is sometimes we have no choice but a choice of faith that he really forced us into. What else can I do? I have to practice this faith. There's no other way. And that's where our faith begins. I mean, this is important. I just want to encourage you to just dwell on this aspect. We have to use our faith. Sometimes the conditions in life are hard. They are difficult. There is no choice. A principal in our Bible school over in Myanmar, at Yangon, he has been delaying this heart surgery for years.